Last night, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, did an interview with Sean Hannity on Fox News, who was literally the biggest Iraq war cheerleader on planet Earth, where the HJIC, the head Jew in charge over there, lied with almost every breath about why the attack on Iran happened and continues to happen. Notice I didn't say with every breath. I mean, he did squeak in a little bit of truth there. So I'll play you all of the relevant clips, give you all the full context, all of the nuance. And just to be clear, because I know the tensions are high, emotions are high on both sides, I don't think that this is going to be a big, prolonged World War III type of conflict. There are no boots on the ground. Sadly, there have been a half a dozen American tragedies in Iran's response. But at this point, to compare it to the war in Iraq, not accurate at all. But we are owed the truth about why this happened. So let's get into the history and the full context down the rabbit hole. Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, accidentally let the cat out of the bag yesterday when he revealed that Israel intelligence told the U.S. that they were going to attack Iran and that the expected response would be Iran then counterattacking American bases over in the Middle East. And basically, we had no choice but to join them in order to try to preemptively then stop any of their counterattacks to preserve our military bases and our soldiers over there in the Middle East.
Does Congress have to weigh in? Is the president declaring war? And does Congress have to weigh in? And was there an imminent threat? Did you tell lawmakers that there was an imminent threat?
There absolutely was an imminent threat. And the imminent threat was that we knew that if Iran was attacked, and we believed they would be attacked, that they would immediately come after us. And we were not going to sit there and absorb a blow before we responded. Because the Department of War assessed that if we did that, if we waited for them to hit us first after they were attacked, and by someone else, Israel attacked them, they hit us first, and we waited for them to hit us, we would suffer more casualties and more deaths. We went proactively in a defensive way to prevent them from inflicting higher damage. Had we not done so, there would have been hearings on Capitol Hill about how we knew that this was going to happen, and we didn't act preemptively to prevent more casualties and more loss of life.
So Israel dragged us into another one of their problems, and like the big brother that America is for them, their cash cow, they forced us to then get involved in another one of their problems. So when Benjamin Netanyahu appeared on Fox News last night, instead of admitting the truth that they're extremely concerned about Iran preemptively attacking Israel if someday they do get the weapons capability, as he has been fear-mongering for literally 30 years. Do I need to play that compilation again? 30 years, he's been saying, just in a matter of months, they're going to be able to get a nuclear weapon and they're going to be able to attack us and America. So when he was on Fox News, he made it seem like they were doing America a favor because Iran was just about to attack us.
The reason that we had to act now is because they were, after we hit their nuclear sites and their ballistic missiles program.
We? What do you mean we? America did that for you, you mean? He's portraying it as if Israel alone took out their nuclear sites. They begged us to do it. We're the only ones who have the weapons that were capable of doing it. But continue.
You'd think they learned a lesson, but they didn't. Because they're unreformable. They're totally fanatic about this, about the goal of destroying America. So they started building new sites, new places, underground bunkers that would make their ballistic missile program and their atomic bomb program immune within months. If no action was taken now, no action could be taken in the future. And then they could target America, they could blackmail America, they could threaten us and threaten everyone in between. So action had to be taken.
They're totally fanatical about destroying America. No, I mean, they may be fanatical about destroying Israel. And while they do hate America, the only reason that they hate us is because America, for decades, has financially and militarily supported Israel. Okay. Notice how they don't have a problem with Canada. They're not worried about blowing Canada off the map. they couldn't care less about Canada because Canada isn't interfering and hasn't been interfering in Middle Eastern policy for generations. And I love how he says that they already were almost at the point of no return reconstituting their nuclear program after we obliterated it, that was President Trump's words, last summer. I'm sorry, but I have to play this compilation again. It's only 1 minute, just in case anybody's new around here or have been living under a rock, of Benjamin Netanyahu claiming for 30 years that Iran was almost ready to attack them with a nuclear weapon.
If not stopped, Iran could produce a nuclear weapon in a very short time. It could be a year, it could be within a few months.
They have the wherewithal, the stored up, preserved knowledge to make a bomb very quickly if they wanted to do it.
Iran is so dangerous. Weeks away from having the fissile material for an entire arsenal of...
Just weeks away. That was a decade ago.
Nuclear bomb.
But then we waited until, you know, summer of 2025 to finally take out their nuclear facilities.
They're very close. They're 6 months away from being about 90% of having the...
Notice the date there in the corner is 2012. They were 6 months away.
Rich uranium for an atom bomb.
Iran is gearing up to have to produce 25 bombs, atomic bombs a year.
Back in 2006, 25 nuclear missiles.
250 bombs in a decade.
Oh, no.
Ladies and gentlemen, time is running out.
Iran will be capable of producing alone, without importing anything, nuclear bombs within 3 to 5 years.
3 to 5 years, he says, back in 1995. Stay tuned because there's plenty more to come in this video, but real quick, subscribe to my channel if you're new here because I think it's obvious. You won't find independent and politically incorrect analysis like this anywhere else. But anyway, continue with your lies, sir.
Freedom is precious, but it has to be protected. And we have to understand that we're fighting here. We're fighting here the bad guys. We're the good guys.
I love how he's dumbing down his message for the average Fox News viewer. We're fighting the bad guys.
Imagine what they would do, these people who chant death to America, if they had the ballistic missiles and the nuclear warheads to deliver to every American city. Do you want to wait? Do you want to bet your future on whether they would do it or they would not do it?
Again, they haven't been able to do that for 30 years, and even if someday they actually were capable of doing that, everybody knows that those weapons would be pointed at you and your country, not American cities. North Korea has nuclear ballistic missiles, but are we living in constant fear about them attacking American cities? No. While most Americans are concerned that this military conflict could spiral out of control, but hopeful that it's going to be a short, several-week campaign, not anywhere comparable to the Iraq War, no one is happier than Ben Shapiro.
The president's decision here is extraordinary. It's known as Operation Epic Fury, which I got to say is just awesome. The operation names from the administration, top-notch. Midnight Hammer was great last year. Operation Epic Fury, yeah, man. Epic Fury.
This from the same clown who has always insisted that Israel doesn't need, nor would ever bring America into their problems.
They say that I want America to fight wars for Israel. Nope. Nope. First of all, Israel can take care of herself.
They actually can't, Ben, which is why the HJIC over there, the head Jew in charge, recently made a video complaining that Americans were tired of giving them billions of dollars of our tax money every year.
When Secretary Blinken was recently here in Israel, we had a candid conversation. I said I deeply appreciated the support the U.S. has given Israel from the beginning of the war.
You mean from the beginning of time, ever since 1948, when that country was established as modern-day Israel after they, well, ethnically cleansed a bunch of Arabs from the region, but that's a whole other story.
But I also said something else. I said it's inconceivable that in the past few months, the administration has been withholding weapons and ammunition to Israel. Israel, America's closest ally, fighting for its life, fighting against Iran and our other common enemies.
He's making it seem like we just wouldn't sell him the weapons, but it's Literally, our tax dollars, this is how the game works. We give them our tax dollars, and then they use those tax dollars to then buy weapons from the military-industrial complex. And then people justify that as Israel helping America's economy. Do we need to talk about why we actually went to war in Iraq? How it wasn't because Saddam Hussein was going to use his imaginary WMDs to attack us? Just like Iran was going to send nuclear missiles into Washington, D.C. and New York. No, it was, again, to protect Israel, as the Clean Break Report clearly outlined back in the 1990s, where a bunch of neocons and Benjamin Netanyahu drew up their plans and said that they needed to get rid of Saddam Hussein in order to protect Israel. It's been a long time since I heard anybody talk about PNAC, the Project for the New American Centuries report about rebuilding America's defenses, a neocon plan that was published in the year 2000, which outlined further their agenda for the Middle East, but then lamented that they weren't going to be able to do it, quote, because the process of transformation, even if it brings revolutionary change, is likely to be a long one, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing events, wink, wink, like a new Pearl Harbor, 9/11. And we're not supposed to talk about any of the blowback from this attack. Thankfully, there haven't been any Iranian sleeper cells activated, but there was one Iranian-inspired whack job who did shoot up a bar in Austin, Texas that, of course, the media is covering up. Officials are, they're investigating whether or not he was motivated in retaliation for the strike on Iran. Gee, I wonder if he was or not. He was only wearing a Property of Allah sweatshirt hoodie, and underneath it was wearing an Iranian flag t-shirt. And by the way, Osama bin Laden's letter to America, which various news sites have removed after people started noticing it, despite it being published for the last 25 years since the 9/11 attacks, where bin Laden openly stated that the reason why al-Qaeda attacked us on 9/11 is because America meddling in the Middle East over there. And so Ron Paul pointed it out during the 2008 presidential debates. And then, of course, he was denounced as an al-Qaeda sympathizer for pointing out the truth.
Intervention was a major contributing factor. Have you ever read about the reasons they attacked us? They attack us because we've been over there. We've been bombing Iraq for 10 years. We've been in the Middle East. I think Reagan was right. We don't understand the irrationality of Middle Eastern politics. So right now we're building an embassy in Iraq that's bigger than the Vatican. We're building 14 permanent bases. What would we say here if China was doing this in our country or in the Gulf of Mexico?
And I can already see some people sounding off in the comments. What do you mean al-Qaeda attacked us? Then Osama bin Laden was involved. It was an inside job. That doesn't change the fact that there were actually a group of al-Qaeda members, useful idiots, dupes, who were also involved, who were willing, active participants. The fact that various intelligence agencies helped them, aided them, paved the path for that to happen, doesn't change the fact that their ideology and motivation remained the same. They wanted to do it regardless. They just happened to get a little bit of help to make sure that that mission was accomplished. Can we finally just openly admit, without any concerns about being called anti-Semitic, that for many generations there's been an incredible outside effort from lobbying from a foreign country regarding how America deals with our foreign policy? Actually, I mean, President Trump basically let the cat out of the bag himself.
If you said, let's say 15 years ago, maybe not even that long, anything bad about Israel or Jewish people, you were finished as a politician, right? You were finished. You wouldn't do that, Congressman.
You can criticize Ukraine, you can criticize Ilhan Omar lobbying for her home country, Somalia. But as soon as you start questioning people like Ben Shapiro lobbying for Israel, then, well, your career is over.
You wouldn't do it anyway, but nobody would do it. The most powerful lobby in this country by far was Israel and Jewish people.
Imagine saying that the most powerful lobby in America was the Somali lobby. We would absolutely flip out. Why should we allow a Somali lobby or any foreign lobby having such strength and influence over our foreign policy? But there's always that one little exception carved out for that one little country over there in the Middle East.
The fact is that American Jews support Israel, and I understood that. And the fact is that every Jewish prime minister that I have known has enlisted American Jews to bring as much pressure as possible in the political process on American presidents. Let me explain something about what is called the Jewish lobby in this country. In the first place, Jews, understandably in the United States, because of what happened in World War II, because of the Holocaust, are going to put first priority on the survival of Israel. Now,
that's considered to be an anti-Semitic trope, by the way. Even if you say that they have equal support for Israel and America, that's deemed the dual loyalty trope. That's anti-Semitic. Of course, just disagreeing with a Jew about the best flavor of ice cream is considered anti-Semitic. We know the drill. Even George Washington, in his farewell address, warned, quote, "When one nation becomes passionately attached to another, it creates all kinds of problems. Sympathy for the favored nation encourages the illusion of shared interests where none actually exist, and it imports that nation's enemies as our own. This draws the sympathetic nation into the quarrels and wars of its favorite without good reason or justification. It also leads to the granting of the favored nation privileges denied to others, which doubly harms the nation making these concessions. First, by giving away what should have been kept, and second, by provoking jealousy, resentment, and retaliation from those denied equal treatment. And it makes it easier for ambitious, corrupt, or misguided citizens who dedicate themselves to the favorite nation, to the foreign nation, to betray or sacrifice their own country's interests without facing public disgrace. Sometimes even while enjoying popular support, they disguise their base or foolish compliance with ambition, corruption, or delusion behind the appearance of virtuous obligation, proper respect for public opinion, or admirable dedication to the public good." My new book, which is coming out at the end of the year, is going to be quite a banger. I'm not going to reveal any details until later this fall, but it's been in the works for some time, so I'm going to spend the rest of this year polishing it up and updating it, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, order your War is a Racket shirt from my online store, markdice.com, or click the link in the description below. In case you weren't aware, it's a quote by Major General Smedley Butler, who revealed many years ago how the military-industrial complex works. So head on over to markdice.com or click the link in the description below and check it out.